There's nothing like that first stretch of really cool and damp weather to point out where your home or mine might not be as airtight as we would like. And a lot of times it's our windows that are the problem. Hi, Larry Mueller here. Chad Spade of Chad's Carpentry comes by every couple of months to talk with us, share information on making sure that your home and mine is in good shape and as energy efficient as possible. And Chad, great to see you again.
Thanks, Larry. Great to be here.
And as well, you brought along an expert on windows today.
Yes, I did.
You did. Chaz Vaughn, project manager at the Window Design Center in Madison. And Chaz, happy to have you with us today. Appreciate it.
It's happy to be here, Larry. Thanks very much.
We have lots of things that we can talk about, but how important are windows? I mean, you know, a good window worth the money, Chaz?
Well, good windows worth the money in that you're going to improve the comfort of your home. I had an architect once describe to me that the one thing you put in your home, the more you spend on it, more than likely the better it is your windows. But the main thing with a good window is not only energy efficiency but comfort. Your house is a system, and the windows are certainly a part of that system.
Yeah. So, and if we're thinking about, okay, something's not right here, I'm not sure what it is. Is it, what are the signs that it's the windows that aren't performing as well as they should?
Well, you're certainly going to want to check for drafts, make sure windows are sealing. It could go back to original installation where something's not quite square, weather stripping isn't making contact, so you're getting some air infiltration. You know, you live in a 1906 house, your windows maybe are pretty much performing like they were supposed to in 1906. So you have to make the decision to repair or replace.
Mm-hmm.
And with replacement, you can have some unintended consequences of making your windows tighter than your 1906 walls, but you certainly can improve your comfort dramatically.
Well, we live in a 1906 house, but we changed the walls of the windows and everything else before we moved into it. So actually have a pretty nice tight house, at least in our neighborhood anyway. I think we do. Well, we have callers online and we have people who are emailing in. I'm sure we'll get some Facebook comments as well. You can join in if you have a question for our guest today, Chad Spade of Chad's Carpentry, Chaz Vaughn of Window Design Center in Madison. Give us a call, 1-800-642-1234. Love to hear from you. And Chad, by the way, how's business for you?
Oh, it's great, Larry. Yeah, things have really picked up. And, of course, this is typically a busy time of the year because people are scrambling to get things done on their home before the snow flies.
Yeah.
And I think that combined with that, maybe you know, people are starting to feel a little bit more confident and comfortable with things, and so they're moving forward with projects that maybe they were putting off for a while. So I think things are on the up and up.
And you get some window projects, I assume, from time to time.
We do. We do, you know, quite a bit of window replacements, though, you know, our primary business is renovating, you know, existing rooms or adding on rooms to homes. But certainly often a part of that is updating windows and sometimes that's all we do for a client. And, you know, and I do a lot of business with Chaz, Truth, having him as a guest. He's a great resource for me and my clients, you know, because there are a lot of options out there, a lot of different ways to go with a window, like so many other things. And so,
yeah. Yeah, very good. Jim in La Crosse has a question for you guys, and let's see if we can get Jim online. Hi, Jim. Thanks for calling.
Hey, how you doing today?
Great. What's on your mind?
Okay, kind of twofold question, and I'll try to make it as quick as I can. I bought a brand new home. We watched it being built. We watched the windows installed to make sure that they used all of the proper installation methods that were available as far as insulation, the tape, and that foil stuff. And everything was going on great. Our first winter, this is our third year now, coming up on, but our first winter we got ice built up on the Anderson windows that we purchased on the glass where the wood meets.
On the inside?
Yeah, no air infiltration. We used a pump stick, you know, that you would light firecrackers with, and we tried a candle. No air infiltration at all. It's double pane Anderson top of the line. Triple pane Anderson top of the line garbage, we call it. And so then another window manufacturer came out and they told us, well, there's a problem with the window. So we went and bought Marvin window, one of them, to see if that would solve the case, I mean, solve the issue. They installed a Marvin window, and during the installation they checked to make sure that you know, everything was proper before they put the new window in. And we just said, okay, we'll buy one and see how it works. Same thing. It's been determined, according to them now, that, you know, they said they could stop it with their window, that there's too much moisture in the home because it's a brand-new home. But we run continuous dehumidifier system, and we got a top-of-the-line AC system, and we're at 30% humidity in the home. And
30, did you say?
Now, my question is, what window should I buy? Because we're getting tired of this. This is a quarter of an inch of ice at the base of the window where the glass meets the frame.
Oh, well, Chaz, let's start with you.
Well, excuse me. You know, the moisture in the house is the problem. The windows don't create moisture. They're the surface that's acting as the dehumidifier. A new house does need to cure. You've got paints and plaster and drywall and all sorts of things that are putting off moisture that are trapped in that nice new tight house you built. Utilizing dehumidification, air-to-air heat exchangers, things that are moving air around the house can help that. You know, the cellular blinds are very popular now, but you take a 2x6 wall and you put a cellular blind in that jam area, cover that window completely, you've removed it from the heated space, it gets very cold. So when you raise that blind, the moist air of the house is going to condense on that window. And this time of year is a good example. Warm air holds more moisture than cold air, and we're at that transitional time, so a lot of people are going to be seeing moisture on their windows at this point. Of course, you're not seeing ice yet. You need to get a handle using perhaps a home inspector to do a blower door test, measure your indoor humidities with highly accurate
Hygrometer.
Thank you, and just get a handle on that indoor humidity. Roughly in our climate, when you hit 30 degrees, 30% humidity can be a problem. It goes down to 20 degrees. That 30% is really a problem. 20% even becomes a problem. So you really need to monitor what you're putting into the air, cooking, bathing, pets, plants, and get a handle on that. And it doesn't matter how much you're going to spend on a window. It's not the window's fault.
So do you have air-to-air heat exchanger? Would that make any difference? You do have one?
Yeah, and we've gone ahead and we bought four more portable dehumidifiers and the energy-efficient ones, the latest and greatest. And it has helped because we were at 60% humidity. So I believe you're right. Now I'm understanding the process more. Thank you so much. I'm going to go ahead and get into the humidity thing deeper.
Yeah,
and another thing that we would sometimes recommend, I mean, if you have a high-quality bathroom fan up on the top floor, often we'll use a Panasonic fan because it's got a lifetime warranty on the motor, and it can be run continuously. And so, you know, you just use that appliance to be pulling the air out of the top of the house. And then what little bit of air leaking you have, or if you do have the air-to-air exchange, you'll bring in some fresh air. You know, the fresh air is dry air. When you're bringing in the winter air, it's cold and it's dry. And then that too helps to dehumidify the home. But, yeah, it's a humidity problem. Yeah. Good luck.
I had one other question, if I could. The humidity that was on the window did cause a bit of black mold looking, or not necessarily black mold.
What to do? You're breaking up, Jim, so I'm just going to cut to the chase here and say, what do we do with that, Chad?
Yeah, well, you know, just a mild soapy water is what we're recommending for, you know, cleaning up generally. I mean, mold is something that will happen if you've got a combination of moisture, oxygen, and some sort of cellulite food, cellulose. And so, you know, it'll happen, and mold happens. So
there you go. Jim, thanks a lot, appreciate your call. It's a question that I'm sure other folks have had as well. And you know, that house going into its third year, should be drying out.
It's getting to that point.
It's getting to that point.
It could be. They should be searching for other sources.
Yeah. We had an email from Trish in Williams Bay. What do you think about customized interior storm windows? I bought some last year as an experiment. They seem to be good for keeping the cold air out of my old windows.
Well, that's a great solution to a common problem. As long, you know, you aren't obscuring the view with some heavy window quilt or something, and you're controlling that drafting. You need to make sure they're very well sealed, because as we talked about the moisture a second ago, that moist air of the house is going to be trying to get out, and if it gets out behind that storm window, you're going to see it condense on the panes of the old windows. The only other drawback would be that interior pane, you've removed your windows from the conditioned space, so now they're very cold behind that glass. Then they can also get very hot in direct sun, so you may be putting some extra stress on your older windows. But it's certainly a great solution for a storm window.
Eric in Madison emailed in, had a person who does blower door tests, a freelance engineer, tell him that changing windows is maybe the worst return on investment, and eliminating the chimney effect at the sill plate and the top of your walls in the attic does far more good than replacing windows, and is a lot cheaper typically. But she also mentioned that replacing windows is a big money maker for builders. But I really haven't heard that when I've talked to builders.
Yeah, if that's true, I mean, I'm unaware of it. Replacing windows is very expensive, and I'll also say that installing a window properly to the standards that are specified by the manufacturer, it costs a lot more than just slapping it in the hole. And so, when you're committed to doing it right, it's going to cost quite a bit of money. And the window itself is costly. So when you're looking purely at energy savings, it is true that often we'll calculate a 20 to 30 year payback on the energy savings that you can expect from the cost of replacing the window. But, and I know Chaz can speak more to this, one of the things that I often hear from my clients is that not simply did they improve the comfort around the window, but a big thing that old windows don't do that newer windows do is insulate the sound on a home.
Yeah.
Now, obviously, that's not something that's going to pay you back on your utility bill. But sound deadening is one of the big benefits of window replacement, of having thermopanes. And so you typically don't replace your windows to purely save money on your energy bill. There are other things you're doing as well.
What about the sill plate? You just mentioned the sill plate and the top of the walls creating more problems than a window might. And what about tightening those up?
Yeah, well, certainly it is true, and we give similar advice to our clients. And in fact, I can even say that there have been a few times when Chaz has called me up after this show and said, "Why were you bad mouthing windows?" you do want to do air sealing and insulating generally first, particularly those parts of a house that are easy to access, because it is by far the best bang for the buck if all you're looking to do is to improve comfort and reduce your energy bill and, get a payback on your improvement.
Get that low-hanging fruit, as they say.
That's correct.
Debbie in Delafield, thank you for calling. Hi.
Hi. I think probably most of my answers have been, or most of my questions have been answered, and my husband likes this conversation already. my biggest question is up in my bedroom, we're wondering if it's just the insulation in our house that's really nasty, because we have a big half-round window and these windows that are like 80 inches across, and another window on the side of the house that when I put plastic on my big windows, when it's windy outside, you can see the plastic bow out on it. Now, these windows are like 20 years old, and they the latches on them, there's two slider windows in the front of the house, and there's only one latch in the center of that window. And we had a friend of ours come through who, you know, has put in some other windows for us, replaced some doors with some Anderson doors, and the sound was greatly improved, but the heat that was coming off of our porch doesn't make our eating area quite so hot anymore. So there was a great benefit that happened with that. And I'm wondering, you know, those windows in the front that are 20 years old, what's going on with them if I'm feeling a breeze coming through there? And
yeah.
Well, it really could be a couple of different things. You know, installation methods have greatly improved with spray foam and air sealing and flashing tapes. So you probably don't have any of those installation techniques. But the, you know, something's obviously wrong. You want to make sure the windows are locked. You want to inspect your weather stripping. Even an inexpensive window is still engineered to have weather stripping contacting on all surfaces. If it was installed out of square or something like that, that could be causing excessive, you know, just enough of a gap.
Yeah, we had a picture window replaced in our family room, and he had to square it up because it wasn't square. And I'd be half willing to bet if we pulled the molding off around the windows that we'd have to put some spray foam or something in there.
Yeah, you know, very common 20 years ago was just be to fill that gap with fiberglass insulation, which when you have air moving through it, it's just a filter. It's not generating any R value. So without, you know, a caulk joint may have opened up and now there's air getting between the window frame and the trim, the meeting rail of these sliding windows, if they're really large, they could very well be out of square, and it's difficult to see because an eighth of an inch is still out of square, but it's only an eighth of an inch.
Right, right. Now we have this half round window up in our room that if we don't go up there at least once a year to check the caulking on that bottom edge, it leaks. And the water drips in to the window below it and comes out through the molding in the window and drips down onto our shades and everything that we have in there. So that's...
And are you sure, and that's leaking from the rain or snow, and it's not condensation?
It's not condensation.
Okay.
It's rain. When it rains and it really hits that window, and if that caulking hasn't been checked, it runs in between, right at that, it runs down the window and it runs in. And then it fills, you know, there's like, what, six, eight inches between the half-round window and the big windows below it. And it doesn't matter which side, of, you know, it just happens to be wherever it's leaking up above. It'll drip down through and come through the molding and drip down the inside of the windows underneath it.
Wouldn't there be a flashing fix for that?
Just thinking that.
Yeah, it could be. Water's a tricky one because it comes out. It doesn't come out directly below where it comes in, so you can't really track it. So, but it sounds to me like you've already gotten a handle on what it is, and I think the question becomes, do you want to just continue the ongoing maintenance of caulking that joint and maybe having a contractor take a look at the flashing above that, or if just to make sure that it is truly that joint, and then decide that maybe it's time to replace that, because that doesn't sound like a pleasant task every year.
No,
they had a guy come in and look at it, and they did put the owner of the house previously had them put a flashing in there, and when that caulking dries out up there, it still leaks.
You know, there are better caulks that, you know, last more than a year or a couple of years, and it's like everything else. You know, the cheap caulk will look good for a year, and the better caulks, well, they'll look good for quite a while longer, and so it could be really that it's time to just use some slightly better materials, and you might be able to get many more years out of that window. It's also true on fixed windows. Sometimes we find that, you know, we can just caulk where the jamb meets the sash because it's not opening and closing, and so we can seal that up much better and help to eliminate some of these problems. And then, you know, Chaz alluded to something that I wanted to elaborate on newer windows, on newer homes. As Chaz said, you know, they have gaskets and different little vinyl and rubber parts that are on the edges that are designed to seal up these units, and they work to keep air and rain out, depending on the type of window. And on a modern window, you do have to to upgrade those every now and then. Even the, you know, the nicest window you put in 10 to 20 years, those are going to start to wear depending on how the window is used and the sorts of weather that it's exposed to. Mm-hmm. For many clients, we've gone in and, you know, simply done some kind of maintenance to the newer window, and it makes a big difference on how well they both air seal and operate.
Mm-hmm. There you go. Debbie, there's something else for you to think about. Thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate it very much. Chad Spate, owner of Chad's Carpentry in Madison, and Chaz Vaughn, project manager with the Window Design Center in Madison. Our guests, I'm Larry Mueller, Judith Sears-Poisson, our producer on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Talking your home today and, you know, what's going on energy-wise with the home. We're zeroed in a bit on windows today, but we'll take some other questions as well relating to home repair as we visit with Chad Spate of Chad's Carpentry in Madison and Chaz Vaughn, project manager at the Window Design Center in Madison. Great to have both of them here, and thank you so much for listening in. Joan emailed and wondered about these German-type windows she's heard about. Are they more energy efficient than, say, the Anderson clad wood windows? Would you recommend those? And I'm thinking, what are the German style windows here? I'm not coming up with an answer. But
well, a lot
Chaz,
of times,
you know.
Yeah, a lot of times people will reference a European window. It's a an in-swinging casement window, and then it also has a function where it will tilt open as a hopper at the top. One of our manufacturers, Marvin, makes that window, and it's very nice. In our case, it's a very beefy window, so it gets a very, very nice design pressure rating. But without knowing what specifics make a German window, I can't really comment on that. But energy costs a lot more in Europe, so windows have, and actually, there's a lot of vinyl windows in Europe. Part of that is a function of the material cost and being inexpensive to produce. But they don't have the energy costs are much higher. They don't have bugs. Mm-hmm. So you throw open your windows and you leave for the day. Mm-hmm. So as far as the efficiency goes, energy values in the States are still pretty low. If you put in a high-quality window, even a dual-pane window, you're making an exponential jump in performance from, say, a single-pane window. Your heating bill's not going to go down exponentially, but we've talked a lot so far about the comfort of your home, so you're going to enjoy your home more. So if you explore a good, high-quality window in the U.S., dual-pane, low E coatings, argon, krypton gas, something that's going to boost that R value, you're going to get a good window for R performance. If you want to explore a triple pane window, you're increasing your efficiency, your thermal efficiency. You're adding to the cost. You're adding to the weight of the window, typically on mechanisms and things like that. But you're going to be hitting some numbers that maybe are important to you. A triple pane window is a good solution if you have humidity problems, such as a lot of plants, things like that, where you get that interior piece of glass closer to room temperature, away from the dew point. That's when you want to start considering triple pane. But in a lot of cases, the expense is not worth the payback.
And there's another thing too that I just briefly mentioned is we look at our value on windows, and Chaz alluded to this a little bit. You know, our value of a modern, 6-inch or 2x6 wall is going to be R20 or R24, and the window, an Energy Star window, they get rated by U value, but it's just the inverse of R value. So you have an Energy Star window of 0.3. Well, that's an R value of about 3.
Mm-hmm.
So you figure the window has got a 3 R value, or thermal resistance, and the wall is 6 to 7 times more resistant to thermal heat loss. So the window is still going to be a hole in the wall, effectively. You're going to have heat loss radiating through that. And one of the things that people will sometimes be referring to when they talk about, say, the European window, there are some North American manufactured windows that are similar, which have this insanely high rated our value or you or very low U value. And I know, Chaz, you have some experience with some of these windows that make claims of being, you know, R13 or R20. And they're very expensive windows. They have special films in between. And but, you know, there are windows out there. There is technology that allows you, or so it's claimed, to have significantly less heat resistance through the glass. And that's really the next revolution in windows. But Chaz alluded to what I think is the driving economic force in our country. Energy's cheap. And so there's not a great incentive to invest in this high-tech glass.
Yeah. Payback is not there.
Right.
It's about your comfort. Just to finish that, you know, you can hit those U values, get very, very high U values. We handle a product that gets up to an 11. But you're paying quite a bit for that, and the payback is very, very long. The other thing that is, we're just talking about the thermal properties of those windows. You also need to look at the design pressure rating to make sure that you're getting a window that's going to seal. And when these claims are being made about the R and U values, you want unit values, not a center of glass rating.
Matt in Reedsburg, let's get you involved here. Thank you for waiting. Hi.
Yes. I apologize for another window question, but
no problem.
I've got a skylight. The house was built in 96. I've got a skylight, and it's recessed probably 16, 18 inches, and obviously it's on the ceiling. So in my theory is, you know, all that heat is funneled right to the weakest point. And can I have a custom piece of glass put on the, you know, flush with the drywall, you know, frame it in and caulk it in, or am I going to be, you know, to create an air gap, or am I going to cause some kind of moisture problem?
Well, you'd achieve the same thing we were discussing a little earlier. You're basically putting an interior storm window on there.
Right.
As long as you sealed it very, very well, you wouldn't have any moisture problems. But with the drywall return, you're probably going to have a real difficult time getting that whole light shaft completely sealed. Additionally, skylights do generate a lot of thermal heat, which generally is confined to that light shaft, and you're gonna trap that heat up against the skylight, which is gonna put some extra strain on the thermal pane of that skylight. So it's not gonna make it explode, but you are doing some things to it that manufacturer didn't design to have happen to it.
There you go. Yeah, thanks a lot for calling, Jackie in Sun Prairie. It's your turn. Hi, thank you for calling.
Thank you for having me on and having these gentlemen answering all of these questions that are rather confusing to me. I own property, a duplex, so I've been finding that more and more the heating is costing my renters more and more, and I was thinking that I needed to do some things to cut back on that heating bill. The house itself is on a slab. It's a ranch duplex, and it probably gets to about $150 to $175 a month to heat each side of it. But anyway, you'd probably have to know a lot of other detail to see if that's really off the charts.
What's the square footage on each side?
Yeah, probably 800 on each side.
All right.
And the thing of it is that I thought maybe the best way to go about seeing what the problem is with leakage and drafts and stuff like that would be to get an energy audit, but was told that you couldn't get those anymore for under $500. And I was wondering if there is some place to get an energy audit that doesn't cost that much.
Well, I'm not aware of one in Sun Prairie. If you lived in Madison, you would you'd be able to use the Green Madison program, and there's some other that program exists, I believe, in Milwaukee and I think Beloit as well. But and they those programs are unique to municipalities, and they're subsidizing the cost of the energy audit. And I know at one time Sun Prairie's utility was subsidizing those audits.
And maybe, yeah.
And maybe they will again.
The property that I own is not in Sun Prairie. It's in a small town north of here.
Oh, okay. Okay. Well, so but here's the thing to keep in mind about if you are, you know, it sounds like you are committed to finding out what makes sense to do and then probably doing it to help to reduce the heating bill. And so the great thing about the Focus on Energy program, which is what administers those audits, it's the kind of the, you know, organizing body behind it, that program will, the auditor will identify for you what are the best things to consider doing. Mm-hmm. And then once you get pricing on those improvements, you will likely have some incentives that are will potentially be paid back to you, or that will help the contractor reduce the cost of the work for you. And so you will probably get back the $500 you spend on the audit, and you'll have the peace of mind that this independent, you know, state partnership is helping to assure the quality and the payback on the improvement you did, you know, because they're going to come and test it after it's done. You know, it really, it's quality control, and it's providing you with good information, and it, you know, it really does pay for itself. It's,
and it is a legitimate expense if you are an owner and are renting property. It's a legitimate deduction or an expense to put against the revenue that you take in from the rent.
Yeah. Now, who were there tax incentives involved in this besides the fact that you could take it off for expenses?
There were.
Yeah, I don't. I think they have expired.
Many of them have. Yeah.
Yeah, but
they didn't apply to rental properties in the tax credit form, and the state programs changed slightly. But
it's just worth looking. I mean, go to the. What am I trying to think?
The Wisconsin Focus on Energy.
Focus on Energy program. I just blanked there for a minute. The Focus on Energy program, you can find it online. You're going to find qualified people right in your area who will come out and do it. I had not heard about $500, like costing $500 or more.
I had heard of free energy audits, you know. I mean, they were talking about those for a long time, and I never realized, you know, to what extent. And then I guess just in the last couple of years, or last, you know, year and a half or something, that whole thing has changed and now costs people, you know,
a little bit more.
Yeah, they for a long time it's been about a $400 audit for the last 8 years, because we've been doing it with a lot of our clients. And there was a time a long time ago when the utilities were doing some free audits, but those were not thorough blower door audits that, you know, infrared imaging and all that. It was much more anecdotal, walk around the house,
you will be very impressed.
Yeah, it's well worth the money.
He will be very impressed. And good luck, and thank you very much for calling. Appreciate it. Dennis in Liberty Grove has been waiting a long time here, so let's get to Dennis. Hi, thank you for calling.
Good morning, gentlemen. A 10-year-old custom-built home replete with glass walls essentially to capture the beautiful views we have of a northern arboreal forest on all sides of the home, fancy windows, pella. But we also have guests routinely, and those guests are wasps, flies, and what my wife calls dinosaur bugs, which are beetles, which have a characteristic back. But I've been perplexed, and so I had a fellow get up, and he caught some noticeable gaps in the house. But that didn't solve the problem, and we rarely open our windows because of the heat exchange system we have. But recently I've decided, well, I've got to check out these windows, and lo and behold, under each window, there's a zoo of bugs, and it seems that some are getting into the home, flies, wasps, whatever, and I just wonder if you have any suggestions regarding a remedy. I talked to Pella, and they're quite willing to come from Green Bay to Liberty Grove, but the trip charge is rather onerous, and I'm just wondering if you have any ready suggestions about what I can do to keep the zoo out of the house.
Well, much like you'd inspect your windows for, an upcoming winter, say, you want to open the windows, clean all that. Are they casement windows?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So you want to make sure you get that hardware, the area where the recess is for the hardware. You want to get that all nice and clean. Lubricate the mechanisms, inspect the weather stripping. You want to make sure you're locking the windows so that they're getting good contact with the weather stripping. Beyond that, I don't know what to tell you. If the weather stripping's intact and it's making proper contact at the bottom of the window.
Have you checked the sill plate, along the sill plate? Because oftentimes I have a guest, Phil Pelletieri, our entomologist, on, and he says oftentimes the insects come up through this underneath the sill plate.
Well, that could be a possibility, although they seem to be congregating on the sill between the bottom of the sash and the sill. Well, anyway, what I've done is I bought some of that very thin stick-on material, insulating material, and I put that in certain spots, which seems to have helped, but it's just not good.
Yeah. Well, just be careful with that, because the window was engineered to work a certain way, and it's counterintuitive, but when you add a piece of weather stripping and then crank the window closed on that weather stripping, that window's not working the way it was designed to work. So if you found it's helping and you don't notice that it's causing anything else to happen, then I think you found your solution. But just be careful with adding weather stripping to especially just a 10-year-old window.
Yeah.
It's probably pretty thoughtfully engineered.
Yeah, okay.
And we were talking earlier about, and I assume you've checked the gaskets and things like that, but a lot of times those gaskets will become compressed over the years, and if they don't crack or break, they're just kind of compressed, and they don't have that movement that allows them to create a good seal every time you open and close them. And it could just be updating the gaskets with appropriate gaskets similar to what were on it when it was installed originally will really go a long way to fix the problem.
Yeah. Good luck. Thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate your call. Chad Spade of Chad's Carpentry, Chaz Vaughn, Project Manager at Window Design Center in Madison. Our guest, I'm Larry Mueller, here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Talking about your house today, what about your windows? What about your heating? What about any problems going on around the house? Give us a call with those questions at 1-800-642-1234. Email us at talk@wpr.org. Or you can post on my Facebook page at the Larry Mueller Show. You can go there, too. We'd love to have you join in. Appreciate it very much. We have Mark in Mequon up next with a question, so let's go to Mark. Hi, thank you for calling.
Yeah, thanks for taking my call. I'm sorry to ask another window question.
No, that's all right.
But I have two brief questions. One, over our front entrance, we have a large fan window. It's about 20 years old, and it appears the seal has broken because there's condensation. It's a triple-pane window, and its condensation is collected inside. And I'm wondering if that can be repaired. And then I have one other brief question about a different window. The other issue is we had the house recently painted, and when they were sanding the windows, they scratched the window with an orbital sander. And I'm wondering if that can be repaired, or does that window have to be replaced?
Well, I have heard of companies that advertise that they can repair a thermal pane. I've never seen it done, and I don't know the process. I think more than likely you're just going to have to explore getting a glass company in there to change that glass out, which is more than likely doable. Most glass companies will come and take a look, and they'll let you know if it's doable or not. But that would be your least expensive option to the best of my knowledge. I forgot the second question.
The scratch on the...
Oh, the scratch. There are companies that will polish scratches out of glass. I think it is dependent on how deep it is. I don't know of anybody, a company name that I can give you, but you can do a little exploration, and I think a glass shop would be able, would be a good place to start, and could be able to help you find a name of somebody to explore that option.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I'll look into that. So the large fan window, that there are companies that will come out and take a look and see if that can be resealed.
Yeah.
And then will the moisture in, how does that dry up, or does it just...
Well, I've only seen that advertised. I've never seen it actually done. I would recommend you call. It's kind of funny, but windows and glass are typically two different things. So you're going to look for a glass company in the Yellow Pages or online, and they'll reglaze the window. They'll take it apart, cut the old glass out, install new glass, and leave you with a clear window.
Oh, great. Okay. Thank you very much.
Yep. Thanks a lot for calling. And Bob in Appleton, hi.
Hi, thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
My daughter has a house or bought recently in Neenah, and it's a 1960s, and it has double-hung windows that are top of the line back then. And I was wondering if they can put in, she has storm windows with aluminum in the wood storm window and then the wood window on the inside, and I was wondering if... Double pane windows can replace the single pane. I looked at the thickness, and because the windows were very high quality, they're very thick, and there's more than enough room. Do you know of any places that do that?
I don't. You know, the double hung window is double hung windows are very simple. They slide up and they slide down, but they all have some sort of counterbalance to take the weight.
This has friction brass on the side of the window.
Uh-huh. So that all is designed for the weight of that sash. So any modification by adding another...
It's adjustable.
Well, it's doable then. You'd have to have somebody come in and make sure the rabbet, which is where the glass is in, is deep enough to accommodate a thermal pane.
I saw it on this old house a number of years ago, out in New England, where they did that, and the guy came in, and he had a truck, and he just rabbited it out and put the new one in. And I've asked many window companies around here, and no response.
Well, I don't know of anybody who's going to do it. You'd probably end up with a carpenter or a contractor who's willing to tackle it. The issues that then you need to make sure of are the weight of that extra piece of glass. Mm-hmm. You're going to have your thermal efficiency is generated by the gap between the two pieces of glass. So you can't just because you put a second pane in there doesn't increase your efficiency. You need to have a little bit of an air gap. Typically on a double hung window, a 5/8 inch thermal pane can fit without much problem. So again, you'd have to adjust the rabbet to accommodate for that.
And I have another question. She has a patio door and it's a thermal pane. Or a double pane, but it needs help. And are there people that make, like, outside winter covers for patio doors?
There are companies that make storm doors for, I assume you're talking a sliding door?
Yes.
Yeah. There are sliding storm windows that can be applied to mm-hmm. the outside.
Yeah, there you go.
Oh, thank you very much.
Yep, thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate your call. And Randy in Lone Rock. Let's see. Let's turn to you next. Hi, Randy.
Hello. I just purchased a small house or cabin in Lone Rock, and there's no attic. The drywall follows the rafters of the ceiling, and there's also no venting in the roof at all that I can see. My roof is leaking. I want to get the rafters insulated as well as possible and then do the roof. And I'm just trying to figure out the best combination of things to do.
Well, the first thing I would say you need to deal with is getting a good roof on the house and, you know, keeping the elements out. Because right now, the leaky assembly that you've probably got, you know, where it's not necessarily well insulated or maybe it's not insulated at all, the only good thing about that at the moment is that because you've got a roof leak, when it gets wet, the house is able to dry out. And that's really, that's how old houses last so long, why they don't tend to have catastrophic failures due to moisture, because when they get wet, they dry out. Now, a modern home that's tight and well insulated, that's not allowing air to move through the walls and the roof assembly, we need to really make sure that we are controlling for moisture, that, you know, we're keeping the exterior elements out of the building, that everything's properly flashed. And obviously the roof is in good condition. And then when you do insulate it, which would be step two once you've gotten it dry, you're going to want to insulate it using materials that aren't going to allow air to move around and get to that cold roof deck, because that's similar to, we've been talking today a lot about condensation on windows, which, you know, obviously are the weak link in a house thermally. But once air gets into a wall or a roof, it can condensate on the wood decking. And that's why, you know, having a cathedral ceiling is fine, but you want to use probably a dense pack cellulose, or even better yet, a foam insulation, a two-part foam that's applied to those cavities. And then you'll have a high-performing, airtight barrier, and it will not be a ventilated roof deck. Now, you know, there are things you can do to create a ventilated roof deck, that's even better yet, if you can afford to do that, if you have the space and the resources. But there's nothing wrong with properly insulating and creating what's called a hot roof. Basically, it's a well-sealed roof deck that's insulated, and there's no ventilation, but it can perform very well.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I was wondering. If I go with the right kind of foam, I don't have to worry about the ventilation.
Well, and the foam I'm talking about is generally applied by a contractor. It's a two-part foam. It comes out of a spray nozzle, and the two chemicals mix together right at the nozzle, and it heats up and expands very rapidly, and then it cools off, and within 15 seconds it's as hard as a rock and it's never going to move again. But that tends to have an R value of about 7 R per inch, and those foams are very good at, if when properly and professionally applied, it providing excellent R value and excellent air sealing. And there are also some foams out there, if you have enough depth in the ceiling or the wall, they have a lower R value, but they allow for a little bit of movement. So as the wood expands and contracts, or as the building shifts around a little bit, it will maintain a little bit of fluidity, and it will not develop small cracks, which allow for air movement.
Mm-hmm. Thanks, Randy, for calling. Appreciate it. And Chuck in Wausau, hello.
Hi, guys.
Hey, Chuck.
Hi. I'm going to give a comment about the guy with the frost in the bottom of the window.
Yeah.
I'm an architect. I spent 30 years designing architectural windows up here. If you watch the 2x4 wall versus the 2x6, cold air drops, warm air rises. He's got a problem with the snowbank at the bottom of the window. But we always did, until a building dries out, take a cheap fan, you know, a little thing, blow some of the warm air on the bottom of the window, and he'll be super happy. Because until that building dries, whether it be a hospital, a college, or anything like that, you've got that. If you run therm from Berkeley, you'll see there's a snowbank at the bottom of the window, cold air.
Yep. I had actually thought about recommending a fan.
Yeah, it didn't come up in a normal flow of the conversation, but that's absolutely right. You move the air around the room. That was kind of what I was alluding to with the keeping your blinds up, making sure you're washing those windows with air, and get that air moving, and as you said, Chuck, get the house dry.
Yeah.
Well, it's going to take 3 or 4 years to dry out a building, especially in use like concrete block, latex paint, and, you know, drywall tape.
Yeah.
It takes a long time. And mostly when they run the humidifier or test the humidity, it's the center of the room. It's not the wall.
Yeah.
That's a good point.
You can't tell Larry we could have a whole doctorate thesis on this.
All right, Chuck. Yeah, they're probably in the College of Engineering. There have probably been people that have looked right at that. I'll have to ask my wife. She's an engineer. Well, she's an engineer. She's not an engineer, but she's in the College of Engineering. I'll check with her. Thanks a lot for calling, Chuck. Chad Spade and Chaz Vaughn, our guests today. They'll be with us right up until 12:30 here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Stay with us. Great to have you with us here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Larry Mueller here. Some of the best investments you can make in your home might be with your windows, or at least fixing your windows up. We're talking today about windows and about all kinds of things relating to the design of your home and getting your home fixed up today with our two guests, Chad Spade of Chad's Carpentry and Chaz Vaughn of the Window Design Center in Madison. Chad and Chaz are here for the next half hour and have a lot of creative ideas for taking care of your home and saving energy at the same time. And I hope you'll join in. Give us a call. The number, 1-800-642-1234. Email us at talk@wpr.org. Or go to my Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show. You can leave a question or comment there. And please click like while you're there. We'll send you regular updates on upcoming show topics. Back after the news. Some of the best investments we can make on our house also help us minimize our impact on the environment. But with all the different options to weigh, it can be hard to know how to make a smart decision. And that's where our guests come in for today. Larry Mueller here. Lucky to have Chad Spade of Chad's Carpentry and Chaz Vaughn of the Window Design Center in Madison with us until 12:30 to answer your questions about your home. Great to have them along. And thank you for listening in. Questions at 1-800-642-1234 or go to my Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show. You can post a question or comment there. And Chad and Chaz, great to have you with us today. Thanks so much.
Great to be here, Larry. Thanks.
We have an email from Bonnie who just had some work done on her house. They took out the water heater that vented through the roof, put one that now vents out the side of the home. They left the vent in the roof because I had a metal roof just done.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So will this leak and ruin my attic? They caulked around it. Well, so what's the height of the vent on the outside?
Yeah, so there should be some sort of a cover over the top of that chimney. I mean, something that prevents water from just falling down into
it,
certainly.
Capped.
Yeah, there should be some sort of a cap on it. But as long as that's done, it should be fine. Certainly there is an opportunity long term to just have the chimney removed. And, of course, then you'll have to patch the roof. But you don't have to do that. You can just make sure that water's not getting down into it, and it should be fine.
And the height of the vent, I think she's talking about the new vent. Does that have to be, it's going out the side of the house. It doesn't have to be that long, does it?
No, the only thing we have to be concerned about is we don't want to be too close to where the snow will pile up on the side of the house, because often that is coming out, you know, down at ground level. And so we do need to be up above the typical snow. And of course, as a homeowner in basic maintenance, if we were to get a huge snowfall, you would need to go out and clear the snow away from those vents because they need to be functioning properly.
Ken in Freedom, thank you for calling. Hi.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. I have installed new windows on each side of a duplex. One side has a moisture, that is condensation problem, on many of the windows, and we're trying to determine what's the cause.
Well, that can have to do with the orientation of the house.
The right western there, side, I mean, the, is where we're...
Okay, so there, you know, that's, you're getting the, you know, I mean, there are different effects on the home there because of the afternoon sun. It's a side that gets really hot. You get a lot of radiant heat, you know, heat rising up the side of the building from the impact of the sun beating down on it throughout the day, you know, for all four seasons. So we see different things on different sides of a home, but then there can also be source moisture issues on in a home, and so there could be something that's generating more moisture on that side of the home that is also or is explaining the problem potentially.
Yeah.
And, well, you know, Chaz, you have the one side of the duplex is as Chad just said, a certain lifestyle, and the other side, maybe there's more plants or more something that's putting more moisture in the air on that side. You also would probably want to just check to make sure that the insulation in the rim joist is equal. There something's different on that side of the duplex.
Yeah. It's interesting. I was remember somebody telling me about doing some studies of homes and their heating, and you had homes that were identical and size and families and everything, and there was such a difference in a duplex from one side of the home to the other, and they couldn't figure it out. And then finally they realized the one family had a dog, and the dog was in and out of the house.
Sure.
All the time.
Right.
And that was making a significant difference in the energy use.
Yeah,
amazing.
I'm
sorry, go ahead, Ken.
My point here is you're moving air in and out, moist air. This time of the year, you've got a lot of condensation then that's trying to balance itself in the house where it didn't exist before, and that's the puzzling part.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
All right. Thanks for calling. I wish we could have more for you there, but I think we've gone about as far as we can. I appreciate your call, Ken. Gail in Fish Creek, it's your turn. Hi, Gail.
Well, hi. I like this. Chaz to the second power. It's great. It's great. Yeah, Chaz Square, really good. I have a couple of one question here, and then something. We had built a home, and I was looking on getting some window wax, which we used to use when I was a kid, on our windows, and it put that wonderful waterproof kind of coating, so like it would like a finish on your car, so the water would bead up, and it really helped keep the weather from wearing the window glass. But I can't find window wax anywhere.
I'm not. They call it Rain-X.
Yeah, it's Rain-X. And,
you know, so what do I get?
Well, the Rain-X type products what it basically does is it lowers the surface tension when water hits it, and then when water sheets off of it, as opposed to grabbing onto the microscopic little irregularities on the surface of that glass. There's Rain-X is a brand name, and there's other companies I think that offer it. And there are, if you're talking about cleaning as far as polishing, there are still window polishes out there that you can get at the hardware store that are, you know, it's a little like a rubbing compound for your car. It's meant to buff off that city grime that will build up.
Yeah, I have that, but I was looking for the wax because we actually used. I was the window brigade when I was a kid, so we were doing all the storm windows, and every year we'd do them all and get them all ready in the summer for the winter. And we had this wax, and you would put it on, you'd let it dry, and you'd wipe it off, and it was amazing how our windows never got old and crummy looking, and they really wore well.
Rain-X.
Huh? I can use that on my regular windows?
Sure,
why not? Yeah.
Oh, fabulous. But then I have one other thing that the gentleman was calling about, the humidity in the house, and I found damp rid really helps a lot, having those little containers in the house, especially in the most in the rooms that the sun's going to hit, where you get that real difference in the heat and the cold temperature, and then the sunlight builds up that heat where your draperies are. That damp rid really helps pull excess moisture out because it's really hard to regulate it room to room. And I found with finding what rooms we needed to put that in, it really draws the humidity out.
Damp rid.
I was amazed. It does a chemical reaction, and it just pulls water out, and the container will get water in the bottom as this little powdery stuff, flakes, draws the moisture in these guys probably know exactly what it is because it's like a chemical reaction that happens with the humidity.
It's an anti-desiccant, you know, it's basically taking the moisture out of the air and yeah, that stuff does actually really
work pretty well. Ah, there you go. Gail, thank you so much. Appreciate your call. And Kathy in Wilmer, Minnesota, thanks for calling. Hi, appreciate it.
Hi, how are you?
Great.
Yeah, I'm actually driving through your state today, and I was listening to the radio. I bought a house about 5 years ago that was built in 1900. And I haven't been able to do a lot of work on it until about now, but I've noticed as I'm trying to get it tightened up for the winter that there are still showing 3 cold air returns, and it looks to me like 2 of them have been closed off. And I'm wondering how important it is for me to go ahead and work and get those reopened.
And these are part of the a hot air furnace system?
Right.
Okay.
Well, yeah, well, it looks like they were original to the house, and I'm not sure if, you know, now we don't have, I'm not sure that it wasn't wood heat to begin with, and now it's, you know, the gas furnace put in. So I don't know how recently they've been used, but I know that in old houses that I've lived in before, they've been very effective in, you know, the circulation of the air during the winter. I just wonder, maybe you don't know, you know, since you don't know the history of the house, but and I don't either, but
are they in the cold air returns in the walls?
Pardon?
In the wall, their cold air return in the wall?
No,
the floor?
They're in the floor.
Okay.
One's in the floor halfway up the second floor, and 2 of them are on the first floor.
Well, you know, it is important. I mean, for any forced air system, it's really important to have returns as well as supplies. And often, particularly in older homes, we'll see more of a centralized return design where there will be a return up in the upstairs hallway, if you're lucky, or in the, you know, either in the floor, the ceiling, or the walls. And then we'll see them often, you know, near the floor of the first floor as well in a two-story home. And so it is important to have them. And so I would say that you're probably on to something, that you will have a more efficient and a more comfortable home if you have those returns operating as part of the system. It's typically, though, I will say this, that heat and the heating function of our furnace is far less dependent on a well-designed return than the air conditioning system. And that's because an air conditioner is primarily dehumidifying the air in the home. And so if you're not drawing in the air in the home and dehumidifying it, then you really are not doing what that system is designed to do. Whereas a heat,
I have no idea.
You know, the furnace is going to be pumping hot air into the house regardless, and it'll you know, what goes out has to come back in, and so whatever returns are there will be sucking in air, but it will function better if it has a better ratio, you know, so the airflow can be more fluid. So
Okay, well, I'll go ahead and look into it then and make sure that it gets reopened if it's closed.
Yeah, good luck. Thank you.
All right, thank you.
Chris and Shano, hello to you.
Yeah. I just curious on the foam-filled window thing going on right now. Is some better than the non-foam-filled?
Foam-filled windows, yeah.
Are you talking about like a vinyl window that's got an open channel where they have foam in that channel?
Yes.
Yeah, well, the foam is serving a purpose. It's boosting the thermal properties of that window frame. Vinyl is moves a lot with heat and cold, and that foam acts to kind of make it denser and stabilize it. So you should find when you're looking at unit numbers of windows, again, a vinyl window that's foam filled, it should have a better U value than a non foam filled window. There are also some fiberglass window manufacturers out there who will fill their foam fill their extrusions to get better RNU values as well.
Mm-hmm.
And on the guy that was going in on the vacuum fans, they do make one that is a humidity-controlled vacuum fan. Works great.
Yeah.
Took our window moisture down to zero in our house.
Great.
Wow, perfect. All right, thanks a lot for calling, Chris. Appreciate it. And Kevin in Bellevue, Iowa. Hello.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Say, I've put in that probably that foam vinyl window replacements in all my in my whole house, and I've also probably made the mistake of pulling down vinyl shades in the wintertime, and I did get some ice buildup. But the reason why I did that is to reflect on my big windows the cold radiating into the home. I found out I had to kind of almost raise those up so air can get around them so I don't have the ice buildup. My question, I guess, is, first of all, I guess, you know, I'm probably doing the right thing, but I just feel colder and not as pleased with that. But I'm wondering if it's smart to try to pay the extra money, or if it makes any sense to pay the extra money to have either plexiglass storms placed on the inside or outside, or custom-made glass storms on the outside to make the home feel more comfortable. Any thoughts on the payback on that, whether it makes much sense?
Well, so these are a vinyl window?
They are a vinyl double-pane window, yeah. Right.
Okay, most vinyl manufacturers are you shouldn't put a storm window over a vinyl window because vinyl needs to move a lot, and it will. When you put that storm window over the vinyl window, you're going to create a lot of heat, and that heat can distort the vinyl and destroy the window, basically.
Really?
So I don't think I don't think it would be a good choice for you. You know, glass is a lousy insulator. It gives off that radiant cold. And unfortunately, there's no way around that. You know, keeping the blinds down, like you said, but letting that little bit of airflow could certainly help. But I don't think you should explore the storm window option.
Not on the inside nor the outside of the.
Really, the same thing would happen. You're gonna trap heat against that window.
Interesting. Thanks so much.
Appreciate it. Thanks a lot for calling. And we had the gal call in earlier wanting to know about the window wax. And a listener, Steve, in Montreal, Wisconsin, phoned in and said he found that window wax that she's talking about in an auto store, so an auto supply store.
Great. Yep.
And that's probably a good place to look. So there you go. Bob in Appleton, thanks for calling. Hi.
Hi. I've got a problem with the brick-and-mortar surface wearing off the foundation part of my outside porch. The surface is, you know, the hard surface of the brick is crumbling away, and in some places the mortar is wearing away like as much as an eighth of an inch deep.
Mm-hmm.
And yep. This is on a 1935 house, and the porch is a slab of concrete that then is raised up about a foot or so by this brick foundation.
Okay.
And that's where it's happening.
Okay.
And I don't know why it's happening or what to do about it now.
Right. Well, it's not an uncommon problem. Certainly, you know, there's a lot of moisture that moves through masonry surfaces and foundations and through the brick veneer on a home. And over time, that will deteriorate. You know, it's not uncommon to have some tuck pointing be required. And if there's flaking of the brick itself, I mean, it could just be that the masonry, for whatever reason, is starting to crumble, and sometimes it'll just have to be replaced. So I would recommend having a mason look at that, you know, not knowing exactly the extent of what's going on. But that, like anything else, I mean, even a masonry wall does not last forever, though it is certainly what we call a 100-year wall. But it may need some, you know, attention.
Yeah. Yep.
This is the wall that's separate from the house. You know, there's just a little space underneath that slab of the outside porch. That's what it is.
Okay.
And I don't know if I contributed to it last winter. I had some heavy vinyl that we laid down to catch paint chips when we were restoring the soffits and that, and I left it there all winter. And that covered the vertical wall and about, you know, 15 to 18 inches out along the ground.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if snow built up and caused moisture that couldn't escape, or if that if that contributed to it.
Well, that could be.
Yeah, it's possible. Anything's possible. Bob and I, the guys are saying here, maybe so. So
okay, I just had one question about some masons say I should seal it and some say I shouldn't after they repair it.
Yeah, that is, I mean, the disagreement on that is reflective of the fact that it, you know, that's one of those things that's hard to know because particularly a wall like that one, which is kind of out there, separate, I would say you're probably okay sealing it, but I would defer to my mason. I have a mason I trust, and so when we have things like that that are a little unusual, I
defer to him.
Yeah, I would defer to him, so I'm not sure.
All right, there we go. We have Larry in Eau Claire next. Hi, Larry.
Hey. My question is on the wind, how the wind affects the house and how it makes the heating system work harder. My house was built in 74. I've done many, many things to insulate and caulk. I just added styrofoam insulation to the outside walls and put new siding on. And I still notice that the wind makes the furnace run more. And I can't think of anything else to do except put a big plastic bag over the house.
Oh, Chaz, what do you think?
Well, your house is subject to the high pressures and low pressures that, you're going to have high pressure on one side and low pressure on another, and that's going to create stress on the building envelope. The windows are a hole in the wall, so all that work you did, if you didn't then rework the 70s insulation around the windows.
Yeah,
I was very careful about that.
Yeah, so it's going to happen on any house. Make sure that you're properly air sealed. Look at the insulation around the window installation, and take it as far as you can. But it's always on any house, it's going to be an issue of high pressure, low pressure, and the forces.
Yeah, there you go. Thanks, Larry, for calling. Appreciate it. And Chaz and Chad, thank you both very much for coming by. Chaz, I should mention the Window Design Center in Madison did a lot of work with various homes of mine, and they've done a wonderful job. And we have a list. We have you up on my Facebook page, so there's a link there to the Window Design Center in Madison. And Judith, there's one for Chad's Carpentry up there too, isn't there? Oh yeah, okay. Judith says, of course there is. So we've got Chad's Carpentry, a link to their website as well. And guys, once again, it was a great show. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Larry.
Appreciate it very
much.
Chad Spate of Chad's Carpentry in Madison and Chaz Vaughn, project manager at the Window Design Center in Madison, our guests today. We'll get him back. We'll do it again. Certified arborist Bruce Allison joins me tomorrow for another edition of Garden Talk. In the meantime, stay with us on the Ideas Network.